You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it's been 5 years since Act 10 was passed. We talk about how the contentious law affected Wisconsin's public schools.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
Peter David knew little about wild rice when he began his job as a biologist for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. He's since devoted his life to understanding and protecting Wisconsin's rice.
How soon after the glaciers retreated did this plant really become well established and utilized on the landscape? That, I think, is still kind of lost, but it goes back certainly thousands of years. This is the global breadbasket, if you will, for rice. And I think it's really a neat thing that this is one of the few places in the world where it exists, really. It grows at this intersection, first of all, of the earth and the water and the air and the sun. And similarly, it's sort of at this intersection of ecology and nutrition and culture and history. A lot of the tribal elders, the rice harvesters, the wild rice chiefs, taught me a great deal. And so much of what we know about rice really is this traditional ecological knowledge. It's really a family activity. So, you know, historically, this was a tremendously important activity. In the fall, families packed up and moved to the rice beds and would spend weeks there. You could argue that, except perhaps for the white pine, there's no other plant that's probably actually had as big a role in the history of the state. Because rice was such an important resource, for example, if you look at the treaty, the Land Cessation Treaty from 1837, wild rice is specifically mentioned by name. It was the only plant or animal that had that status. And when the reservations were established, the tribes went back and petitioned the government for the lands that contained the graves of their fathers, their sugar orchards, and their rice lakes and rivers. If you go back about 60 years, all there was what I would call wild, wild rice, the stuff that grew naturally on the lakes and rivers and was hand-harvested. And companies like Uncle Ben's would actually drive around to the lakes in northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota and buy rice from hand harvesters. Because it is an annual plant whose crop varied a lot and the price would vary a lot, interest developed in domesticating wild rice. So while they're both carry the name yet of wild rice, they're fairly different products from each other. So the cultivated wild rice will be grown in a paddy. It might have fertilizers, pesticides, fungicides, those kinds of things applied as agricultural practice. The paddies are drained, and then they're harvested one time with a combine. And then there's a finishing process where oftentimes they wet the rice for several days in a process they call curing it. A lot of the flavor of rice actually gets affected by the finishing process. My wife and I had a great gig at one point where we got invited to give a talk at a chef's convention. And we brought down what I call wild, wild rice. And they said, well, we have wild rice. And they took this cultivated product off the shelf. And it was interesting to me to watch these chefs work. The first thing they all did was just smell it before it was ever cooked. And you could see immediately they understood that these were two different products. I really enjoy ricing and do it with my wife and with friends, and I've introduced all of our children out into the rice beds. And it's, to me, it's, first of all, our rice beds are just beautiful places to be, and they're incredibly biologically abundant. So the wildlife and the waterfall and the things that you see out there, whether you get rice or not, makes for a beautiful day.
Peter David is a wildlife biologist for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Joining us now to tell us more about harvesting wild rice in Wisconsin is John Olson. He recently retired from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and has been harvesting wild rice for decades. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
Well, let's talk about ricing. We just heard about what wild rice is. I've seen a video of you out and about in a canoe harvesting. Paint us a picture of what it's like.
Well, it's late summer, early fall, and it's always, not always, but generally two people in a canoe. And it's, some people would consider it very difficult work. I just love it. and you're traveling very slow by muscle power, either by paddle or by push pole. And there's no sounds out there except for nature. It might be the wind. It might be the red-winged blackbirds. But then you hear the swish, swish of the what we call the knocker, the person that's actually using the smooth, rounded sticks to gather the rice. And it repeats itself thousands of times during the day. It's a real, it's a wonderful chance to connect with a good friend, a loved one, because you're basically there by yourself, just two people working hard all day, gathering your own food.
And it's the food part of it's interesting, but also, as we just heard, wild rice has this huge cultural, historical significance. I've heard you talking about a story of a prophecy of a migrating native tribe talking about trying to find the land where food grows on water. And so you're out there in a canoe on the land, literally, where food grows on water. What's it like to be part of that tradition that many people have enjoyed?
Well, it's actually quite emotional. There's a lot of spiritual connection as well, especially by tribal members, to this very rare, rich plant. When the push-pull hits the bottom of that rice bed and you move yourself forward, it's like you've moved back in time. You've moved back in time hundreds and hundreds of years, because it is a very almost primitive style of harvest. In that, we thank that to our rice chiefs, especially those from the Couturier, who guided us back in the 60s when regulations were first established on how to harvest rice. And so it's hard physical work, but it's also the type of activity that has traditionally occurred on these rice beds for hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
I understand that there was a big decline in wild rice in the upper Midwest, and I don't know if we've recovered, but there has been somewhat of a comeback. Can you tell that story?
Well, with European colonization of North America and then a lot of use of our streams, a lot of use of our watersheds, and some of that use may have been abuse, it has affected wild rice beds. Impoundments may have flooded out beds. Higher water, waves, wakes can damage rice. It's a very, very thinly, lightly, gently rooted plant. But over the years, in cooperation with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, especially Peter David and the people that work with him, we've been able to identify and locate and then restore wild rice beds through collecting rice from adjacent rice beds and then going back out oftentimes just days later and reseeding areas that look like they should be rice beds or were at one time rice beds. And it's been a very successful endeavor here in mainly northern Wisconsin, but even in central Wisconsin as well.
John, if someone's out there thinking, I really want to try going ricing, how can they do that? And obviously in a way that's in accordance with the law and the protection of the plant.
The best thing to do is try and seek out someone who is or has harvested rice prior. There are techniques involved in it, and you can save yourself a lot of pain and suffering if you find someone who can teach you or show you how. I was fortunate back in 1976 to have a person that did that for me, and I've been doing that with scores of folks since then. If you can't find someone like that, one site, and not that I'm plugging the one site, but the Wisconsin DNR website on wild rice has good information there, has a little video there, that can help you identify and learn some of the basic techniques. Another way is to locate wild rice processors, people that actually will process the green rice. They oftentimes have quite a network of wild rice harvesters that they could recommend if a person is seeking out an experience in a rice bed.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's John Olson, wild rice harvester and retired biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's been harvesting wild rice, as we've heard, for about 40 years now.
thank you to everyone who contributed during our fall membership drive. More than 4,800 listeners, rather, pledged, including over 1,000 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. You donated nearly $700,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you depend on. Thank you.